thank you. Even though that song is in our hymnal, I always think of Nat King Cole when I hear A Little Town of Bethlehem, right? Well, as you're able, for the reading of the gospel, would you stand for the words of Jesus, please? Our text for the gospel this morning comes to us from Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. How about bowing your heads with me for a moment for a word of prayer? Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come upon us as John promised and as Jesus made a reality in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit, upon us. Help us better understand how to live our lives as a reflection of Christ through your power, to his glory, and for the good of our neighbors. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. And all God's people say, amen. All right, well, grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. All right, so we are in week 3 of our Advent series titled People of Adventure, right? Based upon not only the fact that it is Advent, but based upon the fact that we as followers of Jesus live between the Advents. That is the first coming of Christ, the celebration of Christmas, and then the second coming of Christ, which we anticipate, right, at some point, hopefully in the near future, but, you know. So it's this idea that we as followers of Jesus are on a journey of faith, a journey of faith full of risk, but also full of reward. That we are people who live in the now, in the not yet, people who are simultaneously saint and sinner living in and through the redemptive power of Christ. People who are attempting to, if you will, posture ourselves in such a way to bring him glory and to bring good to our neighbor. And so, as I said, we celebrate Christmas in that first Advent, but we long for his return and for him to bring into unity all things under his power. But until he does so, right, and I don't know about you, but he hasn't told me when that will be, but until he does so, we are called to live our lives out, are we not, right? Even as we live to serve others, we also recognize that we have our own things we have to do in our own lives to keep our lives going. From stewarding the relationships that we have around us, to work or volunteering if you're in retirement, to shopping, to school, to whatever is on your list or before you in your calendar for the week ahead, right? We cannot, unfortunately, just sit around all day in a circle and hold hands and sing Christmas carols, right? Or even kumbaya. And it's not just because of the pandemic, but it's because we have stuff to do, because we have to live, right? So life is a journey, and a journey implies, though, from moving from one point to the next point, and our prayer is that by the very power of the Holy Spirit working in us, you heard John in the Gospel of Mark, Our prayer is that by the very power of the Holy Spirit working in us, we are growing in faith and likeness to that of Christ. Listen to this from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Paul says this, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with increasing glory," which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Transformed into his image. From point to point, we are being changed. But that change, that growth, is not easy, is it? Living in a fallen world, beset by the sin and brokenness of it, beset by our own sin and brokenness, we experience the pain and suffering for ourselves and in the lives of others around us, those whom we love, and even those who we don't even know. And that's why the Spirit controls this growth. That's why the Spirit makes this growth happen in our lives as God's people. But we are participants in it. We are not passive pew potatoes, right? And because we participate in the work of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I will tell you this, we have hope. We have hope as the people of God being moved by God himself. For we, as the people of God, are comforted by God along this difficult journey of life. Can I get an amen? Amen. That until he calls us home, or until he returns, that you and I have this inexhaustible source of his grace and goodness and power from which we, as the people of God, continually draw strength and encouragement in our life of faith. The spigot is on and it never runs out, if you will, right? So let's look at this idea then, how God comforts us as the people of God, right? If we are a people of adventure, right? And if we're on a journey of faith, we're going to need a few comfort stops along the way, aren't we? Right? We're going to need a few comfort stops along the way. All right. So I don't know if you had a chance or if you were interested at all, but this past Thursday when the new email went out to the congregation, there was a link there to my blog post for this week. As you know, staff contributes two blogs a month on our website. But I mentioned in my blog post about a recent documentary I had seen, a documentary called The Bikes of Wrath, all right? The Bikes of Wrath. It's on Amazon Prime, so you can watch it if you want. But it's a story about five guys from Australia, all right? So, if you will, interested or smitten with John Steinbeck's work, The Grapes of Wrath, decide to fly over from Australia to Oklahoma with their bikes and make the very same journey from Salisaw, Oklahoma to Bakersfield, California, that the fictional Jode family made in Steinbeck's work, The Grapes of Wrath. If you're not familiar with the book, know that Steinbeck wrote the book based upon the journey of Okies and migrant workers during the Dust Bowl, those who had to flee the Midwestern states in order to find work out west, right? Because the land in Oklahoma and other parts of the Midwest was all torn up and covered in dust, right? Hence the Dust Bowl. So as I said, they take 30 days then on their bikes to go from Salisaw all the way to Bakersfield, and they take as little as possible with them on their bikes to make the going easier and to force them to be at the mercy of strangers along the way. They wanted to see if they would receive comfort. They wanted to see if they would receive help on the journey from Oklahoma to California. They would be dependent upon the generosity of others on their journey, right? And they were going to need it. Because if you watch the documentary, you would discover that they faced searing heat. They faced driving rain. They faced mechanical failures. They faced injuries. They faced hunger. You name it, they experienced it over the course of their journey. And so as I was watching this documentary, it was reminding me of our need as the people of God for help and comfort, right? On our journey, I mean, not necessarily on our vacations, though, when you cross over into Oklahoma, it's nice to see the Welcome Center, right? Or any other state you're traveling to. But help and comfort for our journey of faith, that along this lifelong route of following Jesus, that there are times that we need to know that we are not alone and that there is a whole lot of support around us. And that we can depend on God and we can depend on one another as the body of Christ. And I think Isaiah 40 does an excellent job of reminding us of how the Lord brings us this much needed comfort. I mean, again, considering those opening verses, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. I mean, what a beginning. That's a doubly sure sign of God's comfort for us. It's not just comfort my people, but it's comfort, comfort. The emphasis is there for the reader for a reason. Now, I'm doing on Wednesdays at noon a Facebook Live on the text, the sermon text for Advent. So this past Wednesday, there is a Facebook Live video that's posted on our Facebook site, which I go through 11 verses pretty tightly. But if you're interested in that, you can check it out. I just want to do verse 1 today. But here's the question, which I think the opening sentence sort of begs us to ask ourselves. Where are we to find comfort as God's people? Right? Where are we to find comfort as God's people, right? Because we look for comfort in a lot of different places, though, right? Don't we? It could be food, right? We all love comfort food, right? Right? But it could be substance abuse. We could look for comfort in other people. We could look for comfort in achievement. We could develop this long list of areas of the things that are available in this world around to us that we might look for comfort in. That they're good things, but they could become ruling things. They could become idols in our lives if we don't understand where the best of comfort comes from for us as God's people. So let's look at that. Because I would say this first, the comfort that you and I find first comes to us in God's love for us. If you go back and look at Isaiah 40, the text that Sarah read earlier, Isaiah goes on to remind us that instead of receiving a double punishment for our sins, which we deserve, we receive a double helping of grace, right? When you were a kid, what better than a double scoop of ice cream, right? This is a double scoop, if you will, of grace in our lives, that our sins are pardoned, right? That the iniquity that should have been upon us all was placed upon Christ himself. And the text goes on to remind us that even as we receive this doublet of grace and our sins are pardoned, that crazily enough, like five guys journeying thousands of miles across the western U.S., right? Crazily enough that we as God's people then become the reward, the recompense for Jesus. That Jesus, as the victor, the one who has defeated death and eternal death and sin and Satan, the reward that he receives from the Father is us. We are given to Christ as the reward for Christ's work. Listen to a couple of the verses from Scripture just so you don't forget. Isaiah says this, "Cry to her that her hardship is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Again, that's that double grace, not double punishment like we deserve. And verse 10 from the text, "Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him." So Isaiah comforts us with the assurance of forgiveness, but also the guarantee of provision. And if you were to read through that text again from Isaiah 40, you would see how he finishes off that section of Scripture in verses 10 and 11 by shifting from God as king, right, where we get an image of a strong ruler, the strong arm, to God as shepherd, all right, carrying the sheep in the other arm. We get this double arm of strength, if you will. We get this double arm of strength and care. He will tend his flock like a shepherd, and he will gather the lambs in his arms, and he will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. So for you and me, brothers and sisters, the reality is that nothing will rob us of, as God's people, from what we have in and through Jesus. And that we are secure in this reality, and this reality is meant to bring you and me comfort as God's people. Or at least it's supposed to. I suspect if one never spends time with Jesus, or if one never reads Jesus' words, you're not going to find much comfort. I think it's kind of like saying if you need groceries, but you don't go to the store, so you just sit at home and complain you don't have groceries, right? Anyway, here's a personal challenge, I think, for us. What verses of Scripture bring you comfort? And have you made them readily accessible to you in your life of faith? Perhaps it's a confirmation verse which you memorized when you were really young, and it comes just like that. But what verses of Scripture to you bring comfort in your time of need? What hymns, what music brings comfort to you? What prayers or songs? Just as you keep food around you for physical nourishment or comfort, right? We all love that comfort food, as I said, right? What of Christ do you keep before you to bring you comfort? Perhaps, brothers and sisters, even when you don't feel God is near. Because this is what it means to join with the Holy Spirit as the Spirit transforms us to Christ's likeness. That we're not passive participants in this process, that empowered by the Spirit, we're active in a way so that we structure our day, we structure our week, we structure our month, we structure our year, we structure our lives, that with intentionality, we keep Christ before us. So what do you write down? What do you catalog? What do you take a picture of with your phone, right, that you can turn to? What comfort of Christ do you keep close to you? I think that's first and foremost this lesson for us as the people of God, that we find comfort in what God gives to us and brings to us in our life of faith. But I think there's another level, if you will, secondary, I'll call that, where there is comfort to be found, and I think that's in God's people, the church. I think it's this idea that we need one another for aid and support in our life of faith, right? And this is a common theme in the Apostle Paul's letters to the churches. For example, Galatians 6, verse 2, bear one another's burdens. And so called to bear one another's burdens, we have this ministry of presence in one another's lives, right? We may not always be able to fix the problem or heal the wound, but the mere fact that we know that we are not alone, or that someone else understands what we are going through, is a powerful shield against despair and hopelessness in the journey of faith. You know, my hope for 2021 in terms of our congregational life, not only will the pandemic just go away, right? But that as a church, as we begin to really challenge one another in discipleship, right? And praying for one another, as we begin to challenge one another with an emphasis on discipleship, we'll be able to gather and create more of a sense of community among us as a church. And we may be starting online, right? But eventually this idea is that we're going to be able to find creative ways to bring this ministry of presence into our homes and into our communities. Because go back to the documentary, The Bikes of Wrath. If the five men needed one another and the help of strangers along the way for 30 days, how much more do we need each other for the lifelong journey of faith, right? I was fascinated to see in the documentary that many of the encounters that the cyclists had as they went west was with Christians. They pray for the men. Many of them give them generous amounts of money as well as food and shelter and even medical assistance. And I don't know if any of those Aussies have faith in Jesus, but I can say with certainty that their encounter with the church and their journey was one of the major reasons that all five could make it the entire 30 days. Because where they expected to find the wrath of the locals, like the Okies and the migrant workers in the 1920s and 30s, they found grace from the body of Christ. So again, here's a challenge for you and me, secondary challenge. What other believers around you encourage you and bring this ministry a presence to you? Perhaps it's not at our congregation, perhaps it's in your neighborhood, or perhaps it's part of another group that you have affinity with. But what other believers are around you encouraging you and bringing a ministry, a presence to you? Or put it this way, to whom are you bringing a ministry, a presence to? It's interesting that during this journey of 30 days, these guys are filmmakers, and so they bring their cameras with them to document this journey. And they document these encounters with these people. Are you writing down the people in your life and documenting those people and giving thanks to the Lord for them? Is this missing in your life? Is there a lack of Christian relationship in your life? See, we're confronted on this journey of faith to remember that the body of Christ needs one another, it needs itself, if you will, in order to successfully complete the journey. Go back to verse 1 of chapter 40. Comfort, comfort. That's a double promise of grace to us. First, as it comes to us in Jesus through his person and work, and then as it comes to us through the ministry of the church. And this is what makes us then people of adventure. This is what makes the journey of faith possible. This is what makes our journey not one of wrath, but one of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We continue our service now with our prayers offered on behalf of the congregational needs listed in today's prayer page. We do have a couple additional prayer requests this morning for Jerry Patchkey, Marjorie Bompch's brother, who is hospitalized. We remember Jerry to the Lord this day. But also, Nancy, you asked for prayers for Malin and Bolander families at the loss of your cousin Maureen. Marlene, very sorry for your loss, but we'll pray for the Munster family and your extended family at this time. So let's go before the Lord then in our prayers. We do have our creed as well, and I invite you, as you're able, to join me as we stand before the Lord. With Christians around the world and across the ages, we make a shared confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the comfort that you bring to us as your people, this gift of grace in Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and the very power and presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives as your church. And so we continue to pray that regardless of external circumstances or internal feelings, that your comfort would be known by all, that your presence, so powerful in its way and means, would touch our hearts and minds, and bring us that peace which surpasses all our understanding, and that it would guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and continually remind us of the comfort that we have in you. We certainly continue to pray, too, as a church, that we might provide that ministry of presence and comfort to one another, a ministry of encouragement and empowerment to one another, that we, as the people of God, bearing one another's burdens, will also, Lord, help bear the burdens of the world around us, in our communities, in our homes and neighborhoods, and in our schools and places of work, that we would be known as generous people, not only, Lord, with our finances, but even more so with our posture towards others, putting the best construction on all things, finding ourselves as people called to serve for the sake of grace. So we love you and we thank you and continue to praise you for calling us to be people who live between the Advents, people who are on an adventure. We pray for the comfort of those who mourn, for Malin, Bolander families, Munster families, their loss. We pray for them as they grieve, that they would know, Lord, your hope in Christ, and the very promise that they shall see their loved one again. Comfort them in this time, Lord, with your presence and with the power of the church. We certainly continue to pray for those who are sick, Lord, and in need of your healing. We commend to you Jerry. We commend to you Bill and Bob, Alicia and Obi, for Mary and Chad, for Charles and Marianne, and for Paul. We remember to you Tomas and Mitchell and Beverly and Jo Lynn and Sadie and Baldo and Christy. We commend to you Lucille and Carol and Chris and David and Bonnie, for Jim and Bob and Russ and Marion and Ann and Lydia, for Carol, for Rhonda and Marie and Donna and Billy and John and Judy and Jerry and Ruth and Cammie and Dave and Kim and Mary and Marge. As the great physician who heals both body and soul, Lord, we pray that you would use the doctors, nurses, medical technologies to attend to the needs of those whom we name, and certainly the many others, Lord, on our heart and mind this day. May they know your healing touch. May they know your will being done in their lives to their good and your glory. Lord, we celebrate with Nick and Becky Weiss and their kids and extended family upon the baptism of Mabel yesterday, giving thanks for the grace and mercy imparted into her life and this reminder to her all her days that she has been saved by Jesus. So we continue to pray for Nick and Becky and all parents as they seek to raise their children in the word before you, O Lord. And we pray as a church you would equip us, Lord, to be places of encouragement and aid to those parents seeking to raise their kids before you. Lord, we have a long list of things before us, whether it's on our prayer page or whether it's in our heart and mind. We have prayers of thanksgiving, prayers of joy, prayers perhaps addressing certain concerns or anxieties that we're experiencing, prayers about uncertainties, prayers, Lord, for provision and whatever they could be. You know our prayers. And we take great comfort in that. That you know our prayers and that you hear our prayers and that you answer them in your time and in your way for our good and your glory. So comfort us in that, O Lord, as we commend to you ourselves and those whom we pray for, trusting in your love through Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and remembering to pray the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. And the power and the glory forever. Amen. All right. Well, we continue now with our service of the sacrament, and certainly invite you to participate as you are able and willing. We are going to make one change this morning. We're going to actually start on this side with the sacrament and distribution. So Sarah and Nancy, you are going to go first for us today. But let me go ahead and remove some of the experiments to get us started. And just as a reminder, as you come to this table of grace and belonging, right, you are given through the person and work of Jesus Christ this forgiveness and mercy, but also empowered. We talk about, even though the meal is small and seemingly inconsequential, it is yet profound for us as the people of God, as it strengthens us in faith and reminds us visibly of God's love for us in Jesus. So there is no other meal like it in the world. Amen? Amen? And in all eternity. And we as the people of God are blessed to be invited to this table. So may the Lord richly bless this receiving of it to his glory and our good. Okay, we continue then with the preface found on page 9 of your worship packet. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
As you're able, would you please stand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this invitation to this table of grace and belonging. I'm receiving from you, Lord, a simple yet profound meal for our life of faith, our journey together. You call us to be people of adventure. And as you see us out into the world this week, we continue to pray, Lord, for our own Christ-likeness. May we be representative of the Lord we claim to be our Savior. We love you and thank you and continue to commend ourselves to you and all we care for. All God's people say, amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. We continue with our Advent dismissal. Lift up your heads and open your eyes. Blessings on him who comes as King. We close with hymn number 338, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
That's the guitar part. I'm just the hat. So what do you think, brother?
Did we start out with a four string?
Yeah, I did. That was Barry's. That was his Fender bass that I was borrowing, and then I bought it.
Did you get it?
It's cost $500.
That's it?
That's the one my guy plays.
Your teacher?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He uses this Marcus Miller. Nice.
Hey, you want me to take it this Thursday and get Doyle Brown an autograph for you?
Sure. Absolutely. So what's the plan?
Out there, I don't think us being guests and guest learning.
Yeah.
Those are just like mine.
Yeah.
I don't think we can go to the practice range.
Okay, no problem.
I'm not even sure about the putting green, but I think we can putt. So there's no reason to get out there overly early. What do you think? 12, 15, is that too early?
No.
12, pick you up at 12:15?